Hi guys, it's Kara, host of Everyone's Business But Mine. And let's be real, one thing that makes the show possible is by selling sponsorships to advertisers. One way you can support us in getting more sponsors is by telling us a little bit more about yourself. You can do that by filling out a quick survey at the link in the show description. Plus, your answers are anonymous. They'll help us learn what you love most about the show and how to make it even better. The questions will ask you about the things that help advertisers understand the audience. It'll only take a few minutes, and it's an easy way to help the show. So you can find the link in the show description. Thank you so much, and stay tuned for the rest of the show.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cracker Barrel, Cheesecake Factory, Olive Garden, and Red Lobster. And Outback. Do not diss any of those.
So Chili's! You can really go down.
To another episode of Everyone's Business But Mine with me, Kara Berry. We have a lot to talk about today. We are going to be recapping the Love is Blind reunion. And we got to talk about what's going on with Little Miss Kate, among other things. So let's get into it. I'm feeling like, I don't know, y'all, it has been a gorgeous few days in my neck of the woods. I hope the same for you. When New York is in like, oh, I think we might be in spring bitch time, this is really where I thrive. And like, I'm never happier. So I hope you guys are just like riding the wave with me, having a good time, hanging loose. Let's start off with the positive, right? Like, let's start off with, can I get a hell yeah? I just heard this. Breaking news. You guys. Southern Hospitality is coming back officially for season 3. I think we all knew this was like inevitable. Why wouldn't they? But I'm excited. I'm so excited. They said there are going to be new cast members, some people leaving, which really kind of made my heart sink a little bit. I was very happy with the cast the way it was. I mean, I think it is probably not surprising since Will will be in law school that he's probably not going to be there. But I'm hoping that for the most part, we don't lose anybody else because that cast was impeccable. And we need Mikkel back from season 1. I need him back in a full-time position if it's the right time for him because he was messy. And he honestly drove a lot of the storyline this season with barely even being there. Just having lunch with Brad and making everybody plot and scheme and fight with each other when he wasn't even there. So, you know, Mikkel's impact. I am so excited. And I'm honestly like, I also don't really want any new people, but I guess we'll see. I have a feeling that this is going to be the season where, Joey Bottles is really in his villain era because he's really been feeling himself quite a bit, but I think it's like half projection. You know what? He's kind of like AD from Love is Blind in the sense that he's like performing the role of fuckboy. But also there's something or a few things going on underneath the surface. And it's like, you're really not fit for the role that you've given yourself. It's a little, you've bitten off a little bit more than we could chew. Maybe You should have been an understudy, but you're giving yourself a starring role. And I don't think it's working for you. But it's honestly incredible to watch. You guys need to listen to me. You need to watch this show, okay? You need to watch this show. If you guys are people who are like, oh, I don't like Vanderpump, oh, fuck Summer House, watch this show. It gives you everything you need. Just these young, hungry people living in studios, working at a bar, fucking, fighting, having fun. And it's a blast. Like, this is what you have been craving. It's right here, baby. Eat it up, okay? Moving on. I found a headline of the week that really made me smile. And this one goes out to our girl, Hoda Kotb, okay? Hoda Kotb did an article. She did an interview, rather, with Page Six for an appearance that she did. And they asked her, what's going on, girl? Like, you're a single lady. What would your dream first date be? And the headline is, Hoda Kotb's dream first date would be at Chili's. And I thought, you know what? Salute a bad bitch and a real bitch when you see one. So they asked her where she likes to be taken on a date. And she says, I like Cracker Barrel, Cheesecake Factory, Olive Garden, Red Lobster, Outback. Don't diss any of those. Chili's. That is a direct quote. Don't diss any of those. Chili's! Exclamation point. And she's right. She is right. I would fuck up a Red Lobster biscuit right now. You know, guys want to know my orders? Cheesecake Factory. I have not been to a Cheesecake Factory in at least 15 years. I'm going to keep it a buck with you. But you know what? They had a Toblerone cheesecake that I like died for. It was so good. And I hate cheesecake. Like, I'm not a cheesecake girl. If I'm having a cheesecake, it needs to have so much stuff that you can't even really taste the cheesecake, because it's the consistency, the mouthfeel of the cheesecake that's just like, ugh, like I just don't like it. Like, my mouth, my tongue doesn't want it on it. So delicious. Olive Garden, Zuppa Toscana. We're doing soup and salad, unlimited breadsticks, Zuppa Toscana and breadsticks, just, you know, salad, however you like. I'm real basic that way. Real basic. Red Lobster. You know what? I have not also been to Red Lobster in quite some time. I don't think I have an order outside of those biscuits. Like, I just really want the biscuits. And you can make them now. I should make some. Outback. You know, gotta have a steak. Gotta have a steak. A little potato, of course. And yeah, Chili's. Oh, they have like a triple thing. Triple dipper. Triple dipper. Why can't I say it? Triple dipper. Sometimes, like, when I'm in the suburbs and I really want to get real suburban, I'm like, oh, yeah, that sounds great. Like, little egg rolls and little sliders. Yeah. I could have that right now, too. Also, I have to say, one time I did see Hoda Kotb with a dude, and he definitely looked entirely too wealthy to ever step foot inside of Chili's, but he was hot. And I thought, good for you, girl. Good for you. Like, he was like a good one. A tall, like, the type of man that if Luann, Sonia, and Ramona had seen him all at the same time, it would have turned into fucking battle royale before you even knew how to blink. Like, Sonia would have pulled one of her teeth out and there would have been a shank inside. Ramona would have been cracked a wine bottle against the bar. Who knows what Luann would have done, but it wouldn't have been pretty, you know? Oh, he actually was, like, really hot. Anyway, we have a lot to talk about, girl. I said last week, I don't really know how interested I am in this whole Kate Middleton thing, but I'm nothing if not a hypocrite, girl. So here's the thing. I'm all in. I'm all in. And if you have not had the time to figure out what the hell is going on across the pond, I got some tea for you. We're going to talk about it. Strap in. It's a lot. Okay, so here's what I've been able to gather. This is actually years of knowledge on my part, okay? Going back to like 2018, 2019, when there started to be a lot of rumors about whether or not there is a third person in our marriage, as his mom has said, okay? In the likes of which, her name is Rose Hanberry. So they've been talking about this, and by they, I mean us, and by us, I mean the U.S., because I talked to British to the Pod, Jazz, like a couple years ago and asked her, what do you know about all of this like Rose Hanbury stuff? And she said, girl, I don't know anything. And she is like fully fledged, you know, God save the king. Okay. Not in the royalist way, just in the fact that she's born and raised in England. So, I thought that was very fascinating. And like, we all know, you know, if you watch the Harry and Meghan documentary, if you know a little thing, if you watch The Crown, you kind of have a little bit of an understanding of how the whole, like, what do they call it? The royal rota, the media surrounding the royal family kind of works. It's sort of like a, what would be a delicate term for it? A human centipede sort of thing in which the royal family will feed these media outlets stories, and in turn they will get favorable edits because they're like, they'll feed you like tea, you know, like sometimes they will throw people under the bus. Harry has said this, that Will has done this many times in order to like be a dick and save his reputation and yeah, like be a dick to his brother. And, so this is like a whole thing, right? It's like, it can be very beneficial to them, and it also can be like the worst thing in the world. So in this case, this whole Rose Hanbury thing, to my understanding, has mostly been talked about over here in America and elsewhere, not in England. So this has been going on for a few years, little whispers about the three of them. We're not really the love triangle of it all. So Rose Hanbury, I did a little digging on like what her thing is. Okay. So she seems like a former friend of Will and Kate, and things got a little dicey and they haven't really been seen together since. Now, when I say dicey, I mean, there have been like multiple different variations of a rumor of what went on, from just like, you know, he's just a slick Willy, no pun intended. They were fucking, it kind of became an open secret, you know, Waity Katie looked the other way. And it's kind of evolved into, they had a child back in 2015, a daughter that, one of, Rose's children might be Will's, that she might be pregnant now, and that this might be part of the reason why we haven't seen Kate since Christmas, because all this came out, like, allegedly around the holidays that Rose was pregnant, and she was planning on keeping the baby, and this is like a predominant theory, aside from the BBL, of why we haven't seen Kate, because she's pissed. The theory that I believe the most is that Rose and William had an affair. Kate found out, tried to get Rose phased out. So this is like some like real English countryside English breakfast tea, okay? So apparently, you know, back in the day, William and Kate were living in a castle named Sandringham. This was like out in the countryside. They, meaning Rose and her husband, were also living there. She has like this dope fucking house. Well, her husband does, has this dope fucking house. Gorgeous, actually. It's called Hanover House? Houghton House. Houghton. Houghton House. And you can actually tour it. I think they give tours like on the, during the summers. But you can look at pictures. It is stunning. Stunning. Like if you wanted to live your fantasy as like a wealthy, tortured British woman who just like looks in the corners and wears beautiful gowns, like that's the house that you would live in. Anyway, so she found out, so like they've had this sort of rivalry where Kate's been kind of jealous because Rose was like the new bitch. She had that bomb house, and there was like a little bit of a frenemy situation happening. And once she found out that Rose was allegedly fucking her man, that she was like, oh no, no girl, I'm the queen of the countryside. And basically like had Rose ousted and kind of like outcast from the posh circle over there, right? So Rose, in retaliation, went to the Sun, the news, I'm using air quotes here, news outlet, and the Daily Mail, to tell them, oh, well, if you guys want to hear something, I've been fucking William, you know, the soon-to-be king. This was like 10 years ago, or like 4 years ago. But she did so in like a very like posh royal sort of way. So then let's go back to a little bit of Rose's thing. Like, obviously she's a girl about town. She's like wealthy, model, pretty, you know, hanging out with the upper echelon already. In June 2009, she meets this guy, marries this guy named David. I'm going to butcher his last name. Chalmondeley. Okay, I think I'm doing Chalmondeley. Yes, Chalmondeley. He is the seventh Marquess of Chalmondeley, a Chelsea Town Hall in London. So they got married at Chelsea Town Hall in London. So weird thing is that there's like a significant age difference. If I'm not mistaken, I believe Rose is currently 39 and David's 63. Now, people didn't even know where they were together. They announced that they were getting married 2 days before their wedding. And then apparently the day after the wedding, Rose announces that she is pregnant and gives birth to twin boys 7 months later. Now, the other weird thing about this is that David is sort of like a real man about town, hanging out with models, friends with Kate Moss. Hear me out here, winking here. Apparently he was one of those confirmed bachelors who had purchased a home with one of his very dear male friends, who is now the godfather to his children. They live there. They would entertain people like Richard Burton and Elizabeth Taylor. And people were very surprised to find out that David got married, because they were like, oh, we never thought that this was going to happen. It just wasn't giving. So, you know, I think this is like posh code for, you know, we just didn't think you were going to get married, David. Now, here's actually the craziest bit of information that I thought personally out of this whole thing. So, as we know, you know, this is like very patriarchal society in which, like, he was a titled man and there has to be some sort of heir situation, because she gave birth to twin boys. Typically, you would go by the oldest boy, but she gave birth via C-section. The kids were pretty much born at the same time, so they went by birth weight. So baby Oliver, went out because he was 8 ounces heavier than his brother. Like, imagine your whole life hinging on you being a little bit older, just getting slightly more nutrients than your twin, and how different his life is going to be because of that now. That's crazy. So Rose and David now have 3 kids. They had a daughter, and she basically lives at the estate in the country with the kids while he spends most of his time as a film producer, I guess, in Paris, in that apartment, entertaining his close male friends and also living in London for like large periods of time. So since that whole like terrible Photoshop picture that came out on Mother's Day with Kate and the kids and all the blurring and the choppiness, there's been a lot of like fervor going on both with us and with the royals. So the Daily Beast posted an article that they did with like a friend, a close family friend, or, you know, a close royal source or whatever they call it. And it's such bullshit. You can tell that it is from William and Kate because it's so biased. And you're going to be shocked to hear this. It mentions Harry and Meghan, and not in a positive way, in a way that this is somehow their responsibility. So they said that basically they think that they're positioning this picture situation as though the worst possible thing that they could have done is post a picture of Kate without her wedding ring. And that is not the worst possible thing. The worst possible thing that you could have done is having the Associated Press and every top reputable news outlet in the world basically call cap on you in your picture and be like, we're not even going to entertain this, ma'am, princess ma'am, and we're gonna let everybody know that you're a liar. Like, you're such a fucking liar, Camilla. So basically, there have been like a lot of rumors, a lot of, you know, let's talk about the husband, the rumors and the nastiness about him. There have been sort of saying that there's some sort of like, not a gag order, but a, I don't know what the official term is over there, but it's basically like all points. Everybody's all hands on deck. Like there's some sort of waiting happening within the media with regard to the royal family. There may or may not be some sort of announcement coming down in a couple days or any moment now. What could it possibly be? There are theories that maybe it has to do with King Charles and his health and his cancer, possibly stepping down, abdicating. It could have to do with and people saying like, oh, is it possible that maybe Kate is kind of falling on the sword for her father-in-law and his health? And maybe it's like worse than we think. I don't know. I mean, I do think that Charles's health cancer is probably worse than what they want to admit. I do think that we weren't supposed to see Kate from January when she got her abdominal surgery to Easter, which is in like 2 weeks, right? I don't know. I think there's probably worse situations going on with both of them with their health, which is unfortunate. Do I think Will cheats? Yeah. Yeah, girl. But do I think that like that has to do with why we haven't seen Kate? I actually don't. I think she like genuinely has a health issue. I think it's maybe like possibly controversial. I don't want to trigger anybody, but I do think that there might be like some layered situations happening that they're trying to figure out how to address. I don't know. That's just my opinion, but we don't have to get into that. But then the Daily Beast article goes on to say that Kate and Will, over the past few years, have been dealing with intense stress that might be like contributing to a stress-related illness that both of them seem to have because of Harry and Meghan. And they're like constantly waiting for the next shoe to drop with them and the next interview, and that might be like contributing to the reason of like what's going on with in the House of Commons. And I just like, at that point, I just wanted to like close my laptop. Okay. I just don't want to. Okay. And then they go on to say that Kate is upset and she's being like nailed to the cross like Jesus is, and having to deal with like everybody else is fucking up in the family, and she's, you know, the one who's like the sacrificial lamb, which like LOL, girl, ma'am, you? I don't know. Just like simply repeating that you asked how black Archie might be, that's not, that's you. Is that a fuck up made by somebody else? I don't think so. I don't know. Anyway, so we'll see. You know, is Rose pregnant? Is Kate potentially taking the fall for Charles's poor health? What's going on with Will? Is anybody in this house gonna get hair plugs? We'll find out next week, you guys. We'll find out next week. And with that, we're going to go into a recap of the Love is Blind reunion. Yikes. Okay, let's move on.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Really a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Vanessa and I believe in it from season one on. You can see the results. Look around this room. Look at this couch right here. We do not want people to come here motivated by fame. That's not what this is about. It's not fair to the audience. And most importantly, it's not fair to the people right here, the people who have invested genuinely in what this thing is truly, truly all about. It's just wrong. It really is. For people who come here with ulterior motives, we've got to call you out for it. So, Trevor, I know you asked to leave. You can leave now, man.
All right. Let's finish up with Love is Blind. I know this was a better reunion than we've had in months, seasons, because I actually paid attention to it and didn't want to gouge my eyeballs out for a lot of it. There was a good, an hour or 40, you know, I would say like 39 minutes was, you know, moving into eye gouging territory, but that's pretty good, all things considered. So congratulations, Nick. Congratulations, Vanessa. We decided a live reunion, maybe not the wave. So we're back to the taped and, you know, here we are. So it starts with Nick and Vanessa. I wrote Jessica in my notes. Did I just say Jessica just a second ago? Like before this? I think I may have. It won't escape me. It won't escape me. They're role-playing in the pods, right? They're, like, flirting, like, oh, if you had heard my voice, would you have dated me? Nick, what if I do a sultry voice like this? And he's like, no, actually, I wouldn't be into that at all. Just go back to your normal voice, please. Thank you. And then they, like, were going down the hallway. They're popping in the doors. The old cast members, current cast members, jokes. It's like a variety show. We don't need this, okay? They're like, for the first time in Love is Blind history, we will be having the reunion on the actual Love is Blind stage. Oh, no. Wow, I wish you guys had prepared me for that. Amy comes out dressed like Jessica Rabbit. She looks great. It is like a literal great gowns, beautiful gowns moment. I don't have anything to say about you, Amy. Same for you, Johnny. Y'all seem very happy. We had to be forced to watch like a minute and a half of you guys giggling over the past year. And he's taking the ponytail holder out of your hair. And you're like, we went to Paris. Great. Love it. Your families have integrated with each other. It seems like everybody loves each other. It's just one big love bubble. And I'm so happy for you. I hope you have the best life. I'm not going to talk about it, and I don't want to see it. And you know what? I don't even think that's like, that's not even shade. Because I honestly, like I've been saying to Rachel and Desi, that I feel like the show did them a disservice by not giving us more of their love story and their journey, because I'm just not invested. And so like, IDGAF, respectfully. People kept saying respectfully, like a lot, like, if you, you know, want to take a shot every time they say respectfully, like, please don't drink and drive. I knew Kenneth was going to walk in that place wearing a bow tie. I knew it, and I should have said it, and I regretted it. And this is really like another lesson, listening to your instincts, because I was like, Kara, you should say next episode that you know that Kenny's going to wear a bow tie to the reunion. And I regret that. I do. Chelsea looks like Game of Thrones if they had cabaret singers. Like, it was kind of a lot of luck. Let's talk about Sarah Ann and Jeremy, right? They present Jeremy and they're like, you know, do you have a girlfriend? He's like, yes. And they're like, okay, are you guys ready? Here comes Sarah Ann. And she comes out looking like Miss Sherry Hill, 2011, you know, the updo, the boning on the, I mean, girl, what was she thinking? The pink baby, the, The way they clown the fuck out of them, the audience clapping was literally like you don't even hear that, right? Limp, dry, stale, arid, nothing. Mostly what we see is people laugh reacting to it. And like, we know that those reactions are usually piped in from like different situations. But the fact that every laugh react that we got, I think, from the audience was piped into this specific moment, you know? What did they do to production? What did they do? The way Jerani and Sarah Ann ended up being like the sacrificial lambs for the Love is Blind, the institution that is Love is Blind, was so, so funny to me, but we'll get into it. So apparently they've been together for like a year now. Okay. Laura, not there live. She's piped in from Zoom because she's got to work in Barcelona or whatever. Jeremy, we have to talk about his shit first, right? The girl who said that she was fully engaged with him, like, during this process and whatever. So he says, not true. They ended the engagement. He moved out. He sold the house. Everything was wrapped up, basically, before he went on the show. Then he was approached to be on the show. Everybody that he talked to in the pods says that they knew it. Like, they confirm. Jeremy did tell us that. So we can't really get him for that. But that's really the only time he had an out. Vanessa asks Jerami, why would you continue to lie about the location? Did you forget about the Apple Watch? Did you just get cocky? Like, what happened there? And he's like, well, what had happened was, he actually said what had happened was that I gave her my location as soon as I left. And I was only at Sarah Ann's house for like just a second when I dropped her off at her townhouse. And Vanessa says, okay, not my question. I asked you why you would lie about your location. So then Jerami says, when he got home that morning, 6:30 or whatever, Laura was asleep. So he decided to be a good little boy and wait downstairs for her to, like, you know, wake up. And then as soon as he heard her rise from her sleep, he just bolted up the stairs and told the truth. Jerami, you don't think we believe that, do you? So, of course, Laura, why? It's the fact that he has these limptic excuses and also that he does it with Laura, of all people. She stays on ready. Why would you do this with her? Why would you do this to yourself? She's been ready to dig into that Hawaiian shirt-laden ass for months now. I'm surprised she didn't find another why don't you go kick rocks with open-toed shoes phrase to lay out on him again. So she's like, no, I tracked you on the highway coming back to the house that morning. You knew that I knew that you were hiding downstairs. I was awake. You were just trying to avoid me. I got up around 9:30, 10 o'clock. Jeremy comes upstairs and he's stumbling around his words like, well, what happened was, but I already knew, right? So then Laura's like, what I should have done has been waiting for you at the dough, okay, on the porch at 6 o'clock in the morning, and you never take accountability for yourself, and you know what? You're a clown, in the words of Caroline Manso. Sarah Ann, the patriot that you are, she's so bad at clapping back, and I know that that, like, usually is the patriot way, but it's just like, damn. How are you not embarrassed? She was trying so hard to get a lick in. Trying so hard. It was like the equivalent of Lil Mama going on stage with Alicia Keys and Jay-Z. Embarrassing. Okay? And people aren't even, they barely even noticing her. And you're still embarrassing yourself. So she keeps trying to get a lick in. Oh, is Jeremy a clown? That's funny. That's funny, Laura, because you were talking shit about me at the pods. Okay? And you were calling me a pick-me girl, but you're the pick-me girl. Good one, Sarah. Thank you for that, Sarah Ann. So then they show a clip that we had never seen before of Laura and Sarah Ann talking at the lake. And Sarah Ann is just, like, apologizing, kind of, for the DM that she sent homeboy. Jerami And she's like, listen, I didn't come to ruin your friendship. I just needed closure. I didn't know how to do it. And, you know, I just thought, well, they're not married yet. So, like, maybe I should just do it now. And, you know, in terms of me saying, like, if anything changes, let me know. I just meant, if anything changes, let me know. So then she tells Laura, well, this is what really gets me. You know what? I thought you were like a strong, grown woman. I assumed that that's what you were. And that you would be like, well, yeah, I mean, she sent that message, but that's still my man. But you know what? I was wrong. I was wrong about that. I assumed incorrectly, and I'm so sorry. Get away from me right now. Right now. I would have been so annoyed. So Laura repeats to Sarah Ann what she had told us a couple times, right? That, yeah, girl, I did think those messages were disrespectful, but at the end of the day, he made a promise to me, and Jeremy chose to protect my heart, you know? And right now, Sarah Ann, I actually don't believe a word that Jeremy says. How he conducts himself outside as opposed to inside those pods is completely different. And since the day I saw his location, all Jeremy's been worried about is his image. Like, he's been going around saying, oh, I'm about to look worse than Jimmy. And then they get Jimmy's live reaction to that, and he's like, They gooped him with that one. So then she does tell Laura, or Laura does tell Sarah Ann, I really think you need to watch yourself. So they ask Jimmy, how do you feel about getting roped into that conversation? Jimmy reveals to us that when they were back in the pods and he was having a really bad, hard time, head in his hands, hours, maybe days, who's to say, he doesn't know, trying to figure out who he was going to pick. All the guys surrounded him. Kenny was there, the other ones, except for Jimmy, Jeremy, who said, oh, at least I can sleep tonight knowing that Jimmy's the villain. And Jeremy's the worst fucking liar. Like, you have to be good at this, at least, right? Like, if you're gonna be this diabolical, be good. You can't be stupid. So Jeremy's only defense is, I don't remember saying that. I really don't recall saying that. But if I did, I'm sorry, but I don't think I said that. It wasn't meant to be anything serious. If I did, I didn't say that. But if I did, I was joking. But I didn't say that. I don't recall. But I'm sorry. But I don't think I did. Okay, Jeremy. So then, to nobody's surprise, we find out that not one of those women are friends with Sarah Ann. And when Sarah Ann tells us she got removed from the girls' group chat, Jessica raises her hand and is like, oh, that was me. I'm the one who took you off, because really, nobody could have related to your situation more than me, girl. But the way you and Jeremy chose to handle this was, like, really fucked up and unnecessary. So then they ask everybody, have you guys seen Jeremy? Y'all aren't talking to Sarah Ann, but has anybody seen Jeremy? And Chelsea goes, yeah, I have. Every time I've seen them, they're broken up. Jeremy's such a fucking liar. He is like, when did I say that? I've only seen you once. No, Jeremy, I've seen you twice. When was that? And you know what? It doesn't matter. And you could tell that in his mind, he was like trying to challenge her, but then realized, let me not put a timeline on this situation and just try to shut her up. Never mind. So then Jeremy says, you know, we've had our ups and downs and highs and lows, and we were separated a few times, and there were some times where we really didn't think we were going to make it. And you know what? At the end of the day, we decided to move in together. And, you know, when he said, we decided to move in to fight through things continuously. What a fucking dream. Hill House. Haunting at Hill House. And sits down, he goes, you know, I wouldn't say it was perfect, but we've been fighting for it every day. So y'all have been scrapping online, bride to your parents, people you know in your real life, for some chick He never wanted to be with her. I knew he didn't. This is why I keep bringing up the fact that she's a patriot, is that he knew that he didn't want that. And yet he was like, but I kind of do. I don't think he does. But then he's like, you know what? But I kind of do. And this is why Jeremy is weird. He's weird. Because I know that, like, listen, we're just not in a place where you can be with somebody who's, like, completely politically your opposite and still be in a healthy relationship with them. Like, it's just not possible, okay? It's just not. So the fact that he was, like, willing to forget, and that he still is, he does not like her. There's something in Jeremy that, like, some little Republican girl in his high school turned him down, broke his heart, and now he's trying to rewrite history, and now he's stuck with some girl who can't even clap back right to some woman in Barcelona on a Zoom. Like, that's embarrassing. And then they tried to hold her accountable for the fact that she had been doing multiple videos online during the season, spoiling shit by exposing that she was in Jeremy's house, and something she said about, like, oh, you know, like, basically, like, this is what every person who goes on reality TV and ends up getting their ass handed to them because nobody likes them. Oh, this is just entertainment, you guys. Like, not everything that you see is real. This is just, you know, whatever. So they ask her about that. Why did you say that? Why would you say something like that, Sarah Ann? I don't know really what I meant by that. Like, no, like, this is definitely real for me and blah, blah, blah. And I think I got taken out of context. Like, ma'am, you posted that video and uploaded it. The whole thing. You can't even, it got taken out of context. What did you do? Did you edit yourself in a way that made you look bad? Is that what you're saying? Because that's the only way that's possible, Sarah Ann. So now all Sarah Ann can even attempt to do at this point is try to elicit some sympathy from anybody at all. Vanessa, random person in the audience, camera person, gaffer, anybody. So she just goes on and on and on and on. And it was just really such a shame that you guys didn't get to see, like, we are real. And it's such a shame that you guys didn't get to see our story. And, like, she's acting like this was something that production chose not to show. And Vanessa has to be like, yeah, well, we probably didn't get to see your love story because he got engaged to Laura. And so Sarah Ann has to be like, well, yeah. Yeah, that's true. So fortunately, we're able to move on to one of the weirdest things I've ever seen happen on Netflix, which is saying quite a bit. Not only do they have Trevor waiting in a pod, like Jerry Springer show style, with a countdown, 29, 52, 51, 50, to when Trevor's going to get on the stage. So his big ass. They pull out this, like, 80s Love Connection ass music. Like, for Trevor to walk out. And then as soon as he sits down, Nick and Jessica are like, okay, so we need to talk about the fact that you had a whole ass girlfriend during this process when you went into the pods, and that she released all these text messages confirming that you had conversations when you got back and right before you were about to go in, where you were like, I love you so much, I love you, pumpkin. Bye, pumpkin. Hi, pumpkin. All this stuff. And they're doing their acting. I put Jessica in these. I fear I've just been saying Jessica this whole time. And you're just going to have to go with it. Why do I keep writing? I can't listen. The heart wants what the heart wants. So Vanessa pulled out her NCIS Hawaii acting hat. And she and Nick go back and forth reciting the text messages. And Trevor, is just sitting there, head hung in shame. Like, I can't believe I have to do this. So they're like, well, you said, I love you so much. And then she said, don't worry about being in the pods, baby. It's totally okay that you're on the show. I don't care. So they're like, okay, so what do you have to say about that, Trevor? And he's just sitting there for like several seconds to the point where AD has to be like, say it with your chest, Trevor. Like, don't get quiet now. And then he sits there for several more seconds and says, I have this whole thing to say, but I don't know. More seconds. Well, I'll start by saying that I wasn't dating her technically. Like, I never asked her, will you be my girlfriend before the show? But, like, we were pretty close. So then Trevor goes on to be like, that girl was his typical type. And so he went into the show wanting to try something different. And he told her that if I find somebody, it's kind of it for you. And she was totally chill with that, according to him. And it kind of seems like, through the text messages, it does seem to be that she was totally fine with this arrangement, which, you know, okay. But this leads into, like, now we've had these hits from Patriot, now Trevor, and now Nick Lachey is livid, okay? He is pissed for the sanctity of Love is Blind and how disrespectful it is for Trevor, which I do agree with. It is very disrespectful for Trevor to go on a show like this when you are completely over the top, 11 out of 10, not qualified to be on this show. You're actively in a relationship with a chick that you're texting before you go into the pods, like, I love you, babe. That's weird. Also, we find out that once he left the show, he proposed to this woman. So Trevor goes on to say that he has, like, a toxic relationship with this chick, clearly. And they're like, but why would you propose to her then if you have a toxic relationship? And he's like, because I'm a toxic person. So then they move on to the fact that Chelsea could have chosen him, and Chelsea tries really hard, I will have to admit, because at first she's like, you know, I really don't want to go in on you too much because nothing really happened. But then she comes back and be like, but what if, you know, what if I had chosen you and I knew in my heart that something was wrong, there was something telling me not to choose you, and I didn't know why at the time, but now I do. I'm like, okay, thank you, Chelsea, you've had your moment. So then Nick Lachey is like, I just want you guys to look around and see that Vanessa and I, we believe in this experiment. Who gives a shit, Nick? You saying that you believe in the sanctity of the show and people being on it authentically, I get that. But, like, you being the stamp of approval for love in general, Not doing this with you, Nicholas. I just find it, like, annoying when Nick Lachey tries to go into daddy vibes, and I think it's not, it's because it doesn't work. Like, if you look at Nick Lachey and the history, at the very least, if not, you know, hits, album sales, record, you know, gold records on the wall. I can't really speak from 98 Degrees, nor his solo career. I actually think The Best of Me actually did really well. Moving on. That being said, when he goes into daddy mode, like, the least he should have is daddy. Like, if you were to look at Nick Lachey and you didn't, and you just, he was just like a guy on the street and you didn't know that was Nick Lachey, or he wasn't Nick Lachey of 98 Degrees. He was just like some dude that you saw at the gym or whatever. You'd be like, oh my God, he's like daddy. But, like, realistically, like, the real time execution of Nick Lachey, in my opinion, not giving daddy. And I think it's annoying because he should be. He's got the makings of, and yet it's not there. Why is that? Do you guys agree with me? So then Nick says, if people have ulterior motives, I'm going to call them out on them. And then he turns to Trevor and he goes, I know you asked to leave, so you can leave now. And so then Trevor just gets up and it's dead pin drop silent. I mean, like, he did play y'all, but, like, calm down. Like, this is Netflix, okay? We have bigger fish to fry, which leads us to AD and Clay. Vanessa says before their clip package, they were the couple that we were really rooting for, AD and Clay. Huh? Clay says he reached out to AD, like, automatically right after the wedding, and they ask about the wedding, and AD says, listen, it was tough to watch. Clay says for him, it was like a fly on the wall situation. He was really emotional watching it back and especially seeing how excited he was and, you know, how he's about to break her heart. Oh my gosh. I wish that I posted this clip. I hope y'all saw this. Somebody posted during their wedding, the officiant, the preacher or whatever is going on about, like, you guys are going to build a future together. You're going to get married like this. And he looks at her. Clay looks at AD and he shakes his head. No, like, this is actually not going to happen for you, AD. No, he told her right then and there without actually telling her. So anyway, he's like going on and on about like how difficult it was. Right. And he's like, you know, I just felt like the biggest dick. I disrespected her. I disrespected her family. And he claims that he apologized to all the women in her family for wasting their time because they met him with grace. Like, did you apologize to the little girls too? Like, what did they say? How'd that conversation go? Those poor little girls. They really should not have been there. That was maybe not the time. I think maybe we don't have children at the Love is Blind reunions unless we're like 97% sure. And when they're not, you know, maybe we take them to, you know, Monkey Joe's or whatever. Do they still have Monkey Joe's? Discovery Zone? Do they even have those like in a post-COVID world? I don't know. Yeah. And then we go right into a classic Clay rambling about how he was his own angel and devil on his own shoulder. And how he wasn't the one who deserved marriage, but like AD was the one who was guiding him through it. And she's rolling her eyes on the couch. And then he says, which honestly filled my heart with joy. Like, thank you, girl. But then he says, like, honestly, AD is the love of my life. Like, I think I made a mistake at the altar and I'm humbled. And I've definitely started doing the work and I've gone to therapy. And he says to her, I apologize. I love you. You are the love of my life. And it was a mistake. And now she's like, oh God, like making these faces, right? So Vanessa asks AD, how are you feeling, girl? And she says, this takes me back to day one, knowing that I was all he needed. And like hearing that he made a mistake is like, what am I supposed to do with that information? So Vanessa asks her, would you date Clay again?
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Next question. Clay, would you date her? 1,000%. She goes, you had your chance. There's nothing I wouldn't have done for you. And respectfully, I low-key feel like you played in my face. You didn't want to get married. And he goes, no, that's not true. And she goes, well, why aren't we married then? Excuse me. And so Clay says, well, when I saw you walk down the aisle, I did think this is my wife, but I just didn't know if I could show up for you every day. Okay, well, then that's not your wife. And like, to be fair, okay, thank you for saying no, but also don't call me your wife now. Okay, ain't no wife here. Love don't live here anymore. Now, we saw her videos of them hanging out with the family on Thanksgiving. So I think she just doesn't want to talk about the fact that she circled the block on this man. Okay. You want to have your moment now? Good for you. I'll take you having this moment now over you not having it at all. Clay starts crying. Ask me if I give a fuck. Okay. It wasn't my intention to do this. And, you know, I'll take what comes with it, which is all Nick Lachey needs to hear. You mean, let a man show a third of an emotion, and Nick is like, everybody in the audience, please clap for this man. It takes so much bravery to do this, okay? You were so brave for admitting this. Okay. All right, Nick. So Andy then says that she watched the conversation that went down between Clay's parents and the mama specifically, and how that really closed the loop for her. She didn't know the full story that was going on with them, which is odd because he talked about it quite a bit. But then she says, respectfully, I did not want your mom's life to be my life, which is very funny because that's exactly what I said last week. This is 80s life, 25, 30 years. Clay goes on to be a lot of blah, blah, blah about how he doesn't know how to be a good husband and all he knows is the happy wife, happy life construct and going on to talk about how he transitioned from being an athlete to and having a bit of a light rock star lifestyle that came with that to like his normal life as a jet ski tank, gasoline tank filler upper. Like, sir. And I didn't want to say anything when they went to his house and he had that jersey up on the wall. Because how old is he? You know, it's like a man who, if you're like past the age of, you're still wearing your high school class ring. Give it up, Delicious. If you're between the ages of 20, no, 19, and 58, you can put it back on at 59, okay, if you have to. If you've really thought about it, like, you know how they say, if you are craving sweets, but you're trying to cut them out, you're like, gosh, like, I really want a cookie. You give yourself like 15, 20 minutes. And, you know, if you think at that point, I still really want the cookie, then you can have it, right? It's kind of like that. Like, if you still need the cookie at 59, just put it back on. It's fine. It's over. It's okay. But at this point, like, the jersey on the wall. For your college bet, congratulations, put it in the garage, okay? Clay says he started watching season 4 of Love is Blind because Nick wanted to tee on who was the man that you saw that you had this whole emotional breakdown over that you were like, oh, he says all the right things and I don't think I'm going to ever live up to that because we know that he'd never once seen Love is Blind before being on the show. Jesus. Which, why didn't we hold his little feet to the carpet over that? Why didn't they ask him, why were you demanding what she looked like and saying that you couldn't be in a relationship? Why didn't they ask him that? That you couldn't be in a relationship with somebody if you didn't know what they look like? Because that seems equally as disrespectful to the process, Nicholas. I think that's really it from AD and Clay. We move on to Jimmy and Chelsea, basically. Because they have like former cast members come to be there to just like fill up the room basically, but they're like, well, let's give a couple of them something to do. So they have like a few of them ask viewer questions, but people like Micah from a couple seasons ago are asking. Okay, so Micah does ask a decent question, which is what's going on with you, Chelsea and Jimmy? What was the situation with the fact that Chelsea had outed that you had fucked one of your friends on national television? Is that okay? Basically, it comes to light that this was the defining, we're not coming back from this moment for Jimmy. And he says, you know, I could tell by looking in my eyes, like you're watching yourself on TV, that I was just going through the motions after that. Like, okay, I mean, you also were there. I think you maybe remember. After that, Jessica and Jimmy have this very long back and forth about how she thought they were friends, but he did an interview, and in the interview he made a comment about how at some point in the pods, she left 10 minutes early, and something about being lucky that she had a good edit. I honestly don't know why they dragged this on for so long, why we had to go back and see that Jessica was in fact telling the truth about the timing of when she left the pods and how she left the pods. And I guess he was telling people that she like popped off and just left, when in fact we don't know why they got into a fight, but they were just like, well, can we just like call it for a second? They took a few minutes to cool off. They went back, and then they were like, okay, then they had their sort of breakup conversation. And then they write official time, 2 hours and 23 minutes or whatever the fuck. Nobody cares. This is like a point of contention that you guys are bringing up now with 10 minutes left in the show, and we have to watch it back. Like it was the cuties moment with Cole and Zeneb. No, it wasn't giving. And there was so much, again, so much mess with Jimmy and Chelsea. Why are we dealing with Jimmy and Jessica? We had so many more questions that we could have asked. Chelsea, specifically. The only question that they asked her was about, like, why did you say that he fucked that girl on camera? And a debate over whether or not that was appropriate, because, again, like, this is my real life, and so I was just, like, expressing my feelings, and, you know, I did fuck up and make a mistake by saying that, but on the other hand, this is my real life. I don't really care about the Jessica stuff, you know? I honestly think that the reason why they brought up all this Jessica stuff is because she's going to end up being on Perfect Match, and they're like, okay, well, let's find a way to make her compelling. Great. So Micah, Izzy with the bad credit, who says that his credit's much better now, and Jessica are going to be on Perfect Match, okay? Chelsea, not from this season, Chelsea and Kwame. Remember, he was like, I don't know if we can, hello, Chelsea, I don't know if we can do this if I can't travel, because I like travel all the time. And so we find out that she got a new job talking to single people or something, so now they travel more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We get to Kenny and Brittany. Let's just end on them. Apparently they're besties. They talk all the time and no hard feelings. They've already discussed what could or might happen should either of them start dating somebody new, because they have to figure out how to like still be in each other's lives as friends, and friends only, platonic friends, not non-sexual friends, not happening. And also have new relationships with people. So I don't know, like, I'm happy for you guys. Why were they wearing matching black outfits is beyond me, because you guys are not together. But okay. Okay. And oh my God, then one of the more shocking things is that we find out that Matthew, that fucking psycho who was like telling people bar for bar, AD and that other chick, that run away with me, let's go off the show, I want to talk to your daddy, that AD met up with him twice, went on two dates with this man, even though she goes through this whole monologue about how fucked up it was, especially because her dad passed away and she's not going to have these memories with him. And he like tried to spin this whole emotional moment and roped her into something, knowing he was saying the exact same things as some other chick. And how she's like, they're like, have you seen him since? And she's like, yeah, a couple times. And she admits that the first time they met up, he wanted to apologize to her, probably because of how he was being perceived on the internet. And then during that apology, she was like, damn, he's kind of fine. So they went out again. But fortunately, she found out very quickly that he truly is like Christian Bale from American Psycho, so it wasn't going to work. He lives his life literally down to the minute scheduled out, and she, you know, who knows how long it takes to put those lashes on. I don't know. So that was really it. That was it from the Love is Blind reunion. I'm relieved to say that this has been a much better season than others recently, but I'm also happy that it's done. So moving on, guys. Next week we're doing Summer House, Martha's Vineyard. I'm so, so excited. Those will be replacing Traders and the other whatever else I've been talking about recently. So I'm excited. It's a very good premiere, so you should watch it. catch up on season one if you haven't watched it. So join in the fun. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank me for speaking. Love you. Bye.